Hey one and all, this is Rory Hoffman coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. I am no longer in South Dakota. I moved to Nashville as of about a month ago. And anyway, I am speaking now into the new Etterl R9 HR, and I have created a conglomeration of files, which in this file I will put together to create one podcast for Blind Cool Tech. And this is designed to do some direct comparisons between this R9 and the original R9. I do a number of different tests. I do a mic preamp noise test. I do a stereo spread between the internal mics test. I do some MP3 encoder settings tests. And then I spend some time dealing with things as relates to just the Etterl HR, some limiter experiments and things. I did not do a comparison between the old R9 limiter and this R9 limiter because this R9 has automatic gain control and it has limiting, whereas the old one just had automatic gain control. And so to do some direct comparisons would have been a bit more difficult. So basically what I did is just ran some tests and examples with the new Etterl, and I talked some about how the old Etterl limiter worked as I did the new tests on this limiter. And then I have a little file demonstrating the speed playback that this recorder has, in case one might find it useful. It's definitely not that good for music. I suppose if you can manage to get past the oddities that it introduces, you could use it for speech, but I think it would kind of be annoying myself. I only tested it with the music, but it does some rather strange things with music. And it was a pretty simple song too. It was just a vocal and an acoustic guitar, so it wasn't like a very complex musical something that it was having to deal with. So that file will be at the end of all these other files. Now, how I will do this is, when I did these comparison recordings, I recorded using both recorders simultaneously. So what you'll hear is example one on the new Etterl, example one on the old Etterl, example two on the new Etterl, example two on the old Etterl, etc., etc. One more thing before we continue. I should let you know that the way I'm speaking into the Etterl now is the way that I have discovered to get the best possible speaking recording into the Etterl. I'm kind of doing like what Neil did to get his best possible recording out of the original R9, which is to say that it is probably, rather than being in front of me, it is kind of like even with my chin so that my pluses and stuff go over the top. But it's under my chin, I guess you would say, resting. I'm holding it kind of against my upper chest, I guess you would say, just so that the recorder winds up a little ways under my chin, and that's how I'm speaking into this thing and recording right now. Now, what you're about to hear is I'm not holding the Etterl at all in these first two recordings. The only time where I am recording, holding the Etterl, is when I'm doing the limiter tests. Otherwise, this first recording, the Etterl is sitting on a stand and in a smaller room. And in the second recording, it is sitting on my entertainment center in my large living room here. And so the Etterl is quite a distance away from me on those recordings. And so that is just some information for you to have as you listen to what you're about to listen to. Okie dokie, here we go. I should be recording on both recorders now. They are both recording in 16-bit wave, 44K sample rate, which will be converted to MP3 down the road a piece. Both of them have no bass roll-off. Both of them have no limiter engaged. And the mics are as close together as I can get them
on each recorder. I have the recorders sitting almost on top of each other so that the mics are pretty much lined up exactly with each other. Although one is sitting a little bit, not completely on top of the other, I have it back far enough so that it's not covering up any of the microphones, so that no portion of the microphone is actually being covered up by any part of the other recorder. So, but otherwise, as far as the mics being lined up with each other, they should be pretty much identical. And this is the quietest room I have in my house right now. They are both on high attenuation. They are both 10 clicks down from the top. And I'm speaking somewhat quietly because I don't know how much it would take to clip. And I don't really want to clip because I want to do a recording to see if I can tell any direct comparison between preamp noise, the same recording, the same time, the same speech, all that. Neil's was good, but it was still recorded on two different days, a lot of different variables were different, so I'm trying to make these as identical as I can. I'm walking around in this room, so this will be a pretty good comparison, because these mics are being driven pretty hot, you know, high attenuation, and only 10 clicks down from the top, so this is a pretty hot signal. And so I think with that, I'm going to conclude this portion of my comparison tests between the two units. I should be recording on both recorders now. They are both recording in 16-bit wave, 44K sample rate, which will be converted to MP3 down the road a piece. Both of them have no bass roll-off. Both of them have no limiter engaged. And the mics are as close together as I can get them on each recorder. I have the recorders sitting almost on top of each other so that the mics are pretty much lined up exactly with each other. Although one is sitting a little bit, not completely on top of the other. I have it back far enough so that it's not covering up any of the microphones, so that no portion of the microphone is actually being covered up by any part of the other recorder. So, but otherwise, as far as the mics being lined up with each other, they should be pretty much identical. And this is the quietest room I have in my house right now. They are both on high attenuation. They are both 10 clicks down from the top. And I'm speaking somewhat quietly because I don't know how much it would take to clip. And I don't really want to clip because I want to do a recording to see if I can tell any direct comparison between preamp noise, the same recording, the same time, the same speech, all that. Neil's was good, but it was still recorded on two different days, a lot of different variables were different, so I'm trying to make these as identical as I can. I'm walking around in this room, so this will be a pretty good comparison, because these mics are being driven pretty hot, you know, high attenuation, and only 10 clicks down from the top, so this is a pretty hot signal. And so I think with that, I'm going to conclude this portion of my comparison tests between the two units. Okay, I'm now in another room, which is a larger room, and I'm going to do this test to see if there's any mic separation at all, and if there is, what kind of mic separation there is between the two recorders. I have the recorders standing up on my entertainment center. And I will note that the old Edirol stands upright far better than the new one does. The shape of the new one is such that you cannot... Well, you can, obviously, because it is. You can stand it upright. But, like, on the old Edirol, the whole battery compartment created kind of a flat base for the recorder to stand on. On the new Edirol, the battery compartment isn't there. It's just a little, the bottom of it is just where the SD slot is, and then it kind of angles away as you get to the back side of the recorder. It's not just flat on the bottom, so it's more difficult to stand the new Edirol up should you ever want to do that. Again, the recorders are as close to each other as they can be, and I'm pretty much right in front of them now. I'm walking over to the right now. Walking, going past, I'm all the way up to the, I can go right forever, clear into another room here. So right, I can go quite a long ways. Now I'm coming left. I'm back in the room. This is the right corner of this room. Okay, so I'm in the right corner of this room where the recorders are. I'm coming left, moving left, moving left. I'm in front of them again. Here's my chair where the entertainment center, where things are. Moving left, moving left, moving left. And this is the left corner of the wall. And I would say that this corner is as far away as this corner from where the mics are. So that should be pretty good. Backing up a ways and doing the same thing. I'm now back by the couch and moving to the right-hand corner of the room, which I have pretty much reached now as I kick the stand. And I'm walking left. Although I can't get totally to the corner of the room because of things that are, the way my furniture is organized in the room, things are kind of sitting at angles, but now I'm on the left. So, that will tell me if there is any separation at all of these microphones, which being Omni, I'm not expecting great results by any stretch of the imagination. Another thing I will notice, or I will note, is that when listening to the playback, the Edirol R9HR records at 10 down from the top at high mic attenuation is much hotter than 10 down on high attenuation on the original Edirol R9. So there you go. This seems to have a little bit more range than the original R9 did, as far as if you have really, really quiet things or really far away things that you want to try to record, the HR does give you a little, substantially, really, more volume than the original Edirol R9. What I think I might do now is turn these recorders off and think of something else to do. Okay, I'm now in another room, which is a larger room, and I'm going to do this test to see if there's any mic separation at all, and if there is, what kind of mic separation there is between the two recorders. I have the recorders standing up on my entertainment center, and I will note that the old Edirol stands upright far better than the new one does. The shape of the new one is such that you cannot, you can obviously, because it is, you can stand it upright. But on the old Edirol, the whole battery compartment created kind of a flat base for the recorder to stand on. On the new Edirol, the battery compartment isn't there. It's just a little, the bottom of it is just where the SD slot is, and then it kind of angles away. As you get to the back side of the recorder, it's not just flat on the bottom, so it's more difficult to stand the new Etoril up, should you ever want to do that. Again, the recorders are as close to each other as they can be, and I'm pretty much right in front of them now. I'm walking over to the right now. Walking, going past, I'm all the way up to the, I can go right forever, clear into another room here. So right, I can go quite a long ways. Now I'm coming left, I'm back in the room. This is the right corner of this room. Okay, so I'm in the right corner of this room where the recorders are. I'm coming left, moving left, moving left. I'm in front of them again. Here's my chair where the entertainment center, where things are. Moving left, moving left, moving left. And this is the left corner of the wall. And I would say that this corner is as far away as this corner from where the mics are. So that should be pretty good. Backing up a ways and doing the same thing. I'm now back by the couch and moving to the right hand corner of the room, which I have pretty much reached now as I kick the stand. And I'm walking left, although I can't get totally to the corner of the room because of things that are, the way my furniture is organized in the room, things are kind of sitting at angles, but now I'm on the left. So that will tell me if there is any separation at all of these microphones, which being Omni, I'm not expecting great results by any stretch of the imagination. Another thing I will notice, or I will note, is that when listening to the playback, the Etoril R9HR records at 10 down from the top at high mic attenuation is much hotter than 10 down on high attenuation on the original Etoril R9. So there you go. This seems to have a little bit more range than the original R9 did, as far as if you have really, really quiet things or really far away things that you want to try to record, the HR does give you a little, substantially, really, more volume than the original Etoril R9. What I think I might do now is turn these recorders off and think of something else to do.
Okay. I am now recording with both recorders at 128 kbps mp3. And let's just see. Well, let me get so they're not, so my sibilants aren't blowing into the mic, but I can be quite sibilant, as you can see, and we'll just see if any of this is underwater between the two recorders. Okay. I am now recording with both recorders at 128 kbps mp3. And let's just see. Well, let me get so they're not, so my sibilants aren't blowing into the mic, but I can be quite sibilant, as you can see, and we'll just see if any of this is underwater between the two recorders. Well, now I'm going to run a particularly strange test. I have both recorders at 320kbps MP3. I have the mic attenuation switched to low, and I have the input gain one notch from the bottom. So this is basically the quietest possible recording. And why I'm doing this is to normalize these files and see what the resulting noise floor slash hiss of any kind sounds like. Because I've been in situations before where I had a small SD card in my Eteral and I was in a large or a loud situation and I wanted to record something, so I set it to 320 kbps, and I recorded at a fairly low input level to make sure that things wouldn't clip. And then when I normalized the resultant recordings, I got rather a strange background sound, just because of the really low signal that was coming into the actual recording. So I am just doing this on both recordings to see what the resulting noise is like, and so I'm going to sit in silence for just a few seconds. And now we shall see. Well, now I'm going to run a particularly strange test. I have both recorders at 320kbps MP3. I have the mic attenuation switched to low, and I have the input gain one notch from the bottom. So this is basically the quietest possible recording. And why I'm doing this is to normalize these files and see what the resulting noise floor slash hiss of any kind sounds like. Because I've been in situations before where I had a small SD card in my Eteral and I was in a large or a loud situation and I wanted to record something, so I set it to 320 kbps, and I recorded at a fairly low input level to make sure that things wouldn't clip. And then when I normalized the resultant recordings, I got rather a strange background sound, just because of the really low signal that was coming into the actual recording. So I am just doing this on both recordings to see what the resulting noise is like, and so I'm going to sit in silence for just a few seconds. And now we shall see. Let me tell you about a problem I've discovered with the limiter on the HR. It's not a huge problem, but it does exist, and so I will let you know about it. As you can tell, I'm driving the limiter pretty hard right now. I think I'm in limiter mode and not AGC mode. The reason I think that is because I can still change the volume level of the input gain, and if it's automatic gain control, I couldn't change the input level of the automatic gain. I tried to go into the menus as described in Neil's file there, but I'm not sure I did what I should have done, simply because, as I said, I can still manually change the input gain. So I'm driving the limiter pretty hard just because it's even when I just speak, and you can hear my chair rocking, it limits when I'm just talking. Normally I don't expect that this is going to be a problem, but I just wanted you to hear it nonetheless. And the problem is this. Just for clarification here, what I want you to listen for is the kind of snapping and popping of the limiter of the Eteral when I feed this sound into it. The sound itself is not coming from the Eteral. That's the sound that I fed into the Ederle's microphones and kept gaining it until the limiter started kicking in, and then you hear this kind of snapping and crackling that the limiter does. Again, not anywhere on the same level as the original R9. If you listen to Rob Meredith's podcast on the R9, he does a similar type of scenario here. And the R9 kind of goes crazy, but this one isn't nearly as bad. It's just present, and I wanted you to know about it. Let me go slam some doors once and see if I can get the zipper, because Neil was not able to. And so let's hope that I am not able to either. Well, it's not exactly zipping. Let me turn the input gain down. And let me see what happens. Okay. Let me try another thing that never failed with my old Ederle. Turn the gain up a little bit. Okay, so it's not nearly as bad as it was on the old R9, that is to be sure. You just get some air pressure noise and things like that, but you don't get that nasty zipping sound exactly. So, that's more Ederle limiter tests. Once I figure out how to get it on AGC, I will figure out how that works. Another thing I've noticed about this limiter, which I will now describe, is that when you are changing volumes, record levels, when the limiter is on, you get noise. You get this. And now I'm bringing it back up, as you can hear. And it likes to make some of that noise. When the limiter is off, let's see, you do not get that noise. It's a nice smooth signal as I turn down and turn back up, and everything is much smoother, so you don't have to worry about input gain noise if you choose not to use the limiter. But if you do use the limiter, just be aware that you are going to deal with that noise. Also, I discovered why you got such a hotter signal when you record with 10 clicks down on the high mic attenuation on this recorder. It's because there are way more clicks. The old recorder has 30, this has 80. Plus it has the high sensitivity and a low sensitivity switch. So you have a lot more headroom and a lot less variant between each volume level that you choose, because you have 80 on this recorder and you had 30 on the other recorder. So there you go. There's a little more information. Okay, I was right. I was in limiter mode. And I read through Neil's file again a bit more... Well, I wouldn't say more carefully, but just with a fresh mind on the whole subject, and I understood it a bit differently than I did the first time, which made for a good thing, because my new understanding was indeed the correct understanding, and I was able to successfully switch this over to AGC. And now, I cannot indeed turn the input gain down as I record. This is just what it is set at, and I am on high attenuation, and let me go do some door slamming or something fun. And then I will do the same exact thing on low mic attenuation. Because I trust that it is not going to limit quite as hard on low mic attenuation, because this is actually hitting pretty hard now. But yeah, okay. I was gonna say, but it comes back a little bit quicker than the limiter does. But I'm not so sure that it really does. Okay, now this is AGC mode. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I think that's even worse than it was with the limiter, but still, it isn't zipping. So, okay, let's go to low mic attenuation, which I am now on low mic attenuation, and do some doors. Okay, we've done the door test. Let's do the talking test and see how much it brings me up and brings me down when I talk loudly and quietly. And it is probably past time when I should be making this much noise here in my apartment. But I have very cool neighbors and they don't usually care about such things, which is, ouch. My left foot is now in pain as I tripped over my archtop guitar case. But be that as it may, I will survive. And there we go. So that is how this thing works on AGC. Personally, I think I like the limiter better. And so I think I will put it back to limiter. But at least now we know what things sound like on AGC. There you go.
I've listened to the stories, and if what they say is true, there's not anything that you can't do. They say you walked on water, that you can control the waves. They say you are the Jesus that saves. When I'm drowning, you rescue me. When I was a better life, but I can't seem to ever get it right. I keep going under from the weight of the Lord, and